I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, November 14th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. Joining us now, as he does every Monday, is David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
David, the Republican candidates took a break from distractions like harassment charges and memory lapses so they could talk foreign policy. We heard a lot about Iran. What was the most surprising?
Well, Carrie, I think the biggest surprise is that we heard at least two of the candidates call for pretty rapid military action against Iran and not discuss the possible consequences of that action. You heard both Mitt Romney and at various points Rick Perry say that if sanctions and other efforts failed, the U.S. itself, not Israel, should act militarily. Of course, we've been through 4 or 5 years of sanctions now, started by the Bush administration, continued by the Obama administration. We've been through countless covert actions, including Stuxnet, the computer worm that was unleashed on Iran about 2 years ago. And now the question is, I think, whether any of those actions, even if heightened, could cause the Iranian regime to halt the bomb project. I think most experts are coming to the conclusion that it's unlikely that in the end any of those actions would dissuade Iran.
So let's say the U.S. follows Romney and Perry's advice and they strike the Iranian nuclear facilities, which is something that George Bush refused to do. What are the consequences of that?
Well, no one knows for sure, but certainly Iran is capable of striking back at Israel, at American targets within the Middle East, in a way that Syria was not able to after the Israelis bombed its reactor in 2007, and that Iraq was not able to when Israel bombed its reactor more than a quarter century ago. There's possibilities of huge disruptions in oil flows through the Persian Gulf, and these are all reasons that both the Bush administration and the Obama administration have sought to do anything that they could come up with short of actual military action. You didn't hear that discussed very much in last night's debate, but, you know, it's a presidential campaign.
David, it's been a long time since publicly elected leaders came out and endorsed waterboarding, a technique that the U.S. during World War II called a war crime. What do you think explains this sudden lack of interest in what constitutes torture?
Well, you know, the nature of campaigns, Kerry, is that many candidates, in order to appeal to the base, want to sound as tough, particularly on terrorism, as they possibly can be. But it's also possible that some of these candidates, including Michelle Bachmann, including Rick Perry, fundamentally agreed with the position that Vice President Cheney took during the Bush presidency, which was that these were enhanced interrogation techniques and not waterboarding. In fact, you even heard Herman Cain use that phrase. Now, I'm not sure the degree to which, in the course of a campaign, they've had a chance to go examine what has been a considerable literature on this. Remember that President Bush used to step out fairly frequently and say the United States does not torture. He did not consider this to be torture. They did not get to that level of the discussion.
On China, most of the candidates wanted to teach the Chinese a lesson about currency devaluation by bringing the country to the World Trade Organization. Then John Huntsman, the former ambassador to China, pointed out that wouldn't work. Was he right?
He was right, Kerry, and this tells you what experience of the kind that Huntsman has had at least can bring to some of these debates. What Huntsman knew was that the World Trade Organization court does not deal with currency issues. And so while such an action might for a while allow the United States to enact some kind of punishing temporary action against China, no experts that I've spoken to think that it would last for very long. The WTO would throw the case out. Now, what I did think was interesting, though, was that for all of the candidates, a tougher position against China on trade seemed to be the main line that they all took. And it is interesting whether or not the Republican Party, which the Chinese have often regarded in the past as sort of the party of free trade, has now taken a considerable turn in the other direction.
Well, clearly we'll be talking a lot more about this as the campaign season continues. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.